Morning. My name is Jan Kepiner, and we will continue to discuss life's purpose. But I would like to recall what we discussed already, and you know that the life's purpose makes us focused or keeps us one way, and brings excitement in our life and make us fulfilled and happy. And if we don't keep that focus, we are getting discouraged and sometimes even depressed. I would like to say also that not all the depression is because of that. There are other reasons, but anyway, since we would like to have a really fulfilled life, we would like to submit our life to that focus because we have only a limited time. God gave us a goal, but gave us a limited time to fulfill that goal. And there is one way to find that goal. Start from the general, coming to the specific. So look in the Bible, and actually there is one place which is Acts 17, which shows us what is our goal as a human being. After that, go to the goal as a child of God, and there are 5-6 places which explain very clear what's the goal of a child of God. And go to your personal goal, which can be revealed only by God. So from general to specific goal as a person, as a member of the body of Christ, as a gifted member of the body of Christ, because in the body of Christ you are a head or an eye or a ear, and look what's your functions. If you hear means that you are a ear, if you see you are an eye, if you are have a function of the hand means that you are a hand. And if I'm a teacher, my goal is to make disciples. If I make many disciples and really of high quality demanded by Christ, means that I'm fulfilling my goal. There are 3 steps to find your goal. Again, the Bible is very clear what is your goal of your life, and actually 99% of the goal of life you'll find revealed in the Bible. But that only percent which is more referred to your spiritual gift, you'll find during the Sunday class, which we have at 9 o'clock, spiritual gifts. And by the way, those who would like to find what the true faith means, we have the second class, Gospel of John. No way to understand what does it mean a living true faith without Gospel of John. And we have the second class. So we offered everything. Come and feast together. And there are those 3 steps to find what's the goal of life. First is commitment, your surrender. Why God should open you the goal of your life if you don't want to commit your life to submit your life to fulfill that goal? And you should start with that commitment to say, Lord, here's my life. Here's my dreams, desires, but I would like now to give up all my desires and dreams and to receive your direction. And maybe you'll bring up in my life something which is not according to my expectations, but I'm ready. Send me where you would like me to be, and do with me what you would like to do with me. And that's really a dangerous prayer, because the Lord will act by the way, and you'll have surprises. The second is commit your life to a teacher, because Paul said that Jesus appointed some teachers, pastors, to disciple you. And in Hebrew, chapter 13, says that submit to those teachers. So let the teacher work on your spiritual maturity. And that's why we still have in our welcome card in the back, and we still wait for the people to sign up, and after we will gather all the information, we will announce what's the next step. But we have from 300 member church, we have only 12 or 13. And the third step, just start working. You will not find what's your strength if you will not serve. Serve without knowing your spiritual gifts. Just come to me and say, listen, I would like to be involved in the church. I will give you so much to work. And I'm still waiting for those people who say, listen, I don't know which are my gifts, but I would like to serve. And in process of serving, you will find what the strong part of your life, of your ministry, and also you'll find the weak part. So, three steps. Surrender. Let the teacher to disciple you. And third, start ministering. Start serving. And to fulfill or to go after a goal of life means to not to do everything, to do only what's the best. God doesn't expect from us to do everything, but only what's the best. And today we'll have a really, really easy sermon, because if you don't understand doctrine, teaching, you definitely do understand true stories. And this Bible is not a book of Supermans, Batmans, and my youngest son definitely will like it if he'll find Spider-Man's here, but that's a book. It's a book with the true, real stories. And the real story means that it has a positive part, but also a negative part. And we can learn from both. And today we'll have a very interesting story of a man who started to do good things, but after that he realized that he should do the best. And he did the best, and his life got changed, definitely. Open with me, Second Chronicles. We will be today only in Second Chronicles. And there are many chapters there. We will limit ourselves only to two chapters. Chapter 17 and 20, but we will start with 17. Jehoshaphat, Asa's son. By the way, it's Asa. Okay. The names are not my strong area, and when I start to read the names, it's like I'm turning to the tongues, and I definitely need an interpreter. So Jehoshaphat succeeded him as king and strengthened himself against Israel. And in order to understand Jehoshaphat's life, you definitely need to know a little bit about background, and if you'd like to know about me as a person, you have to find about my family, and let's go to see about his father, Asa. He reigned 41 years, and out of them, 35 were so successful. He was a godly man, and God says that he was bringing in the house of the Lord. He was bringing in. But the last 6 years, he was taking out. He went astray. The last 6 years of his life were miserable years. And because of that, he had a continuous war. And all the countries around went against Judah. And even his own nation, Israel, went against him. And he had a constant war. And that's why Jehoshaphat inherited a kingdom full of problems. And the last 6 years of his life, he was hearing only about war. Everything was about war. You can imagine a small country surrounded by the enemies and huge nations, and in the stage of the war, he was hearing only about war. And that's why once he succeeded as a king, first thing that he did, look in verse 2. He stationed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and put garrisons in Judah. So, and if you ask Jehoshaphat, why you are doing that? He will explain, listen, I have a family to protect. I have a nation to defend. So I should do something. And you say, yeah, you are right. You are right. And if you find a pastor who came from Russia, and now he has five kids to feed, and he's getting involved in three jobs because he's not paid as an American, and he doesn't have time even to meet his wife, and his kids are without any care, and they are getting involved in different gangs, groups. But you ask him, why? Why? You was a good servant there. Why you came in this country and you sold yourself out for your job? And he will explain, listen, I have a house. I have bills. I have six kids to feed them. Who is going to feed them? You are the church? And he said, no, you have to work. So? And he will explain why he is not serving. And you will understand him. But look what he did, what Jehoshaphat did in the third year of his reign. He has chosen the best. And that totally changed his future. In verse 7, in the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, you name them. How many? How many officials? Five. But with them he sent Levites, singers. How many? Nine. And also he sent two priests. So a group of 16 people, actually a team of 16 people, from three groups, five ministers, five officials, nine Levites, and two priests. Where did he send them? Look at verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 9. He sent them to teach all the towns of Judah, and they took with them only one book, the book of the law. So they actually went to do Bible study conferences. And I would like to see that he sent them to do inductive Bible study conferences. Because they took only one book, the book of the law. They didn't take any interpretation of them. Only one book. And they taught all Judah. Immediately, everything changed. Look in verse 5, what happened with his political rating. His political rating skyrocketed. Look what the old Judah did. All Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat. How many of you this morning sent gifts to our President Bush? How many? Raise up your hand. None of you. But in that time, his political rating was so high that all Judah was sending gifts to Jehoshaphat. But that's only inside of the country. But let's look what happened outside of the country, because Israel or Judah was surrounded by enemies. And the Arabs. You know that they were the same Arabs. And they, you know how much they like Jews. And in verse 10, we will find out that the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah so that they did not make war with Jehoshaphat. So God changed the situation in country, within Judah, but also outside. But the most amazing thing is in 11. Some Philistines brought Jehoshaphat gifts and silver and as tribute. And the Arabs, those Arabs who are ready to kill Israel, they started to bring tribute, flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 goats. The Arabs started to bring, that's unbelievable, to bring tribute to Jehoshaphat. Who is giving tribute? The defeated one or the one who won? Defeated. Defeated ones are bringing tribute. Jehoshaphat even didn't need to make a war to make them to bring tribute because Lord just changed their heart and pushed them to go to Israel and to bring tribute. But there were three nations. And they said, no, we'll not go to bring tribute. Lord said, yes, you'll go. No, no way. No, you'll go. No way. We'll go to kill them. Okay, go ahead. And they went to kill Israel, and we'll find about them in chapter 20. In chapter 20, after this, the Moabites, Ammonites, and those from the Mount of Seir, Edomites, three nations, they made a coalition. And that was a really huge, that army. And they came to attack Israel, to attack Judah. And when Jehoshaphat found about, it was too late. Because they were in En-Gedi, which is nearby. Verse 2. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from Edom. Whew, from third time I found. From the other side of the sea. It's already in En-Gedi. How he reacted, he got alarmed. Full of fear, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He went to cry out to the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. And look what all Judah did. The people of Judah came together in verse 4 to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town of Judah. If today we have something tragic here in the U.S., and you ask the all U.S. to come together to pray and to fast, you'll not find all the towns of U.S. Even such a nation, and I would say the most spiritual nation in the world, they will not mobilize all the towns to come to pray together. But in order to have this result, what happened before? Do you remember? That team of 16 people, they went throughout all Judah, all the towns, and they taught them the Bible. And now, all of them came together. And Jehoshaphat prayed. And he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hands, and no one can withstand you. It's like our prayer. But look in verse 9 what he said. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague of famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in your our distress, and you'll hear us and save us. And if you read the whole prayer, you'll find the key repeated word. And that key repeated word is temple. was the relation between the prayer and the temple. And if you read this prayer, you'll find that he came to pray and he brings forth a promise of the Lord. That promise was given to Solomon more than 100 years ago. And Solomon, after he built the temple, he said, "Lord, if we will sin and we will come in this place and we will pray, promise to us that you'll hear, you'll listen to us, and you'll come to save us. Yes, we sinned, but if we will come to this place and we will pray, promise that you'll hear us and you'll save us in spite of who we are and what we did." That's a huge comfort for my soul. When I read first time that this prayer, Solomon's prayer, I was so glad that I received this promise. If I will did something wrong, if I made a mistake, if I went astray, and I will come in that temple, which is not in Jerusalem now, but it's here, and I will pray to our God. God promised me that not only will hear me, but will come to save me in spite of all my sins. Hallelujah. And look what happened after that. When he prayed, the Lord is answering. He was answering in that time, and he's answering in our time. And how he is answering? Through his word. And that's why the prophet came, and in verse 15, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert and Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance from the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." It's different than the message given to Joshua. The message which the Lord gave to Joshua before was, "Go, fight, and I will be with you." Now, this time, he said, "Go and see my soul. You don't need to fight. This time, you don't need to fight. You have a good presentation, a good exhibition, a good show. It will be better than the parade of the 4th of July. You'll like it. Just go out." "No, Lord, help us here inside of the fortress." No. Take off all the locks. Go out and meet these people. No, Lord, it's better here." "No, go out." It's like you went as a missionary some Arabic country, and you got caught in a house. 200 people are staying with knives, ready to kill you, and you are carrying and barricading yourself with all the furniture, stopping, putting in all the windows, and in the meantime you are asking Lord, "Oh, help, Lord." And Lord will say, okay, take off the furniture, open the windows, go out and meet these people." "No, Lord, I'll go in the bathroom and I'll close the end, I'll put three more locks." No, go out, meet these people. It's like a story how a mountain climber, he fell from the mountain and got stuck in a tree. And for 3 hours he was crying, screaming, "Oh, people, come to help me, people, oh, people." And after 3 hours he understood that he didn't cry out to God. And he said, "Oh, Lord, if you do exist, show me your presence now and come to save me." And the Lord said, "Oh yes, I do exist. And just release yourself and just fall in my arms." was silent, and after that, people, solve me, people. It's the same here. Lord said, okay, just fall in my arms. Go out, meet these people, and you have a very nice show. And what Jehoshaphat did in verse 20, early in the morning, they left for a desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me. Listen to me, Cornerstone Church. Believe in God, he said, but believe in his prophets, in his word. Now you pray, that's good, but it's time to trust him. Let's do what the Lord said. Let's go out. And what he did, the next verse, he appointed singers, and they went out as a parade. The army was in the back. In front was a parade. Who is going out having a parade? Those who already won. And look what happened. It's amazing. Verse 25. It's 22. As they began, in that moment, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate? Yes. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. In that very moment, when they started to give thanks and to praise, when you pray to our Lord, Satan, you have to trust. And when the doubts are coming to your mind, to say, no, I pray and I will wait. I would like to see his deliverance. But start giving thanks and praising before that happens. And in that very moment, God will start to act. When they came to that place, verse 24, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, what they saw? They saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry up their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. Who is going to war taking them silver, gold, precious stones, all the goods, articles of value? The wife will say, hey, here is a nice vessel. Take it to the war. These three nations, they didn't want to go and to bring tributes to Israel. And they said, no, we'll rather go to kill them. And Lord said, okay, go kill them, but take more as possible. Take the value things, clothing, silver. Don't forget gold. Take gold. Precious stones. You have many in your house. Take with you. And go. And come closer. I don't want my people to work hard to carry. Come closer. Now, 1, 2, 3, kill each other. And when Israel came, what he saw, what they saw? They saw all of them were in a horizontal situation. No one was saying. They saw only bodies. As God promised, you'll see my show. You'll be able to see my deliverance. It's the same nowadays. God has a sense of humor. He wanted to amuse, to make fun of them, and to make the Israel fine, to give them joy. You can dream about such a show, to come and to see your enemy lame, and to say, hey, no, nobody is alive. And to have 3 days to carry all the plunder. You say today, listen, I'm not justified. I don't have a country to involve in the Bible study. But you do have a family. You do have a neighborhood. You have even yourself to get involved in Bible study. And it's not the same, did not Jesus promise that if you look, you will seek first for his kingdom and his righteousness, if you seek first his word, the rest he will provide. God divided our life in 2 sectors. In 1 sector is only 1 thing, God's word. In other sector is 1 billion duties. You have to take care of your family, you have to provide, you have to send your kids to the colleges, and you'll never be able to carry on your very fragile back those billions of duties. And that's why Lord knew that, and he said, look, I'm giving you only 1 thing. Look for God's word, and the rest, let me take care of that. And what we are doing, we are leaving that only thing, and we are getting involved in the rest. And maybe today many people will say, listen, I have my job, I have my family, I have a lot to do. And we do understand. He's right. But that's a good thing, but it's not the best. The best is to submit your life to that only purpose which God has given to you and which you can understand only through this book. And if you take seriously the word of God, you'll take seriously his promises, you'll take seriously his duties, or you'll take seriously the mission which he has given to you. And you were able to see that Jehoshaphat, only in the 3rd year of his life, understood what the real benefit for his family, for himself, and for his country. And he has chosen the best, and that totally changed the future of his country, the future of his family, his future, and that has totally changed your future. That's why you are invited to the Bible study. We have Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and we have Tuesday, marriage without regret. Even though those who don't regret are invited to this Bible study. And let's pray. Let's pray and to let God work in our hearts now. And since he is not only teaching us, but also rebuking us, just try to hear that knock, knock, knock. To hear how he rebukes us. But nothing will change if we will not hear his instructions. And we'll say, Lord, after you taught me, after you rebuked me, and you showed how can I change, now here's my decision. From this day now, I will come to the Bible study at 9 o'clock in the morning and Tuesday night. Let's pray.